Schmooze.
Parsha this week begins, Parsha's Mechukaisai begins in Mechukaisai Teilechu. We don't realize that the Torah here is giving the prescription for life. In Bechukaisai Teilechu, and the Parsha continues to tell you that Yezoicha to all the brachas and everything you need here in Olam Hazeh. Of course, Olam Haba too. But even in this world, everything comes along in Bechukaisai Teilechu. What does it mean, Bechukaisai Teilechu? You follow in Bechukaisai. Rashi says, in Bechukaisai Teilechu, Shetiyu Ameilim Batayra. That you're going to toil in Torah. And the Shaila is, where do you see in these words, in Mechukaisai Teilechu, the criteria of toiling in Torah? Chazal are telling us, Ameilim Batayra, I mean, it's not enough just to learn Torah. You have to actually toil in Torah. Where do you see that in the words? Chazal, how do they see that? In Mechukaisai Teilechu. And really we also have to ask, why do we have to have that criteria of toiling in Torah? Why isn't it enough just to learn Torah? I sit and learn. I have to toil in Torah? And only then am I zeicha to all the brachas of Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Reb Shmuel Rizovsky Zatzal, the Panovich Rosh Hashiva, explained, the word Teilechu means your halicha, your going, yoim yoim, on a daily basis. Every person in this world, like we know the Pasuk really says, Adam la'amal yulad. A person's born for toil. The reality of life is you're going to be toiling in something. So the Pasuk here is teaching you, in Bechukaisai Teilechu, if your halicha yoim yoim, your daily going, which means your toil of life, is Bechukaisai in Torah, which means your amal and your toils in Torah, then you zeicha to all the brachas. If you're just learning Torah, that means your effort and your toils in something else. And you just check in and you learn. The Rabbeinu Shlom wanted, a Yid is not just going to learn Torah, but a Yid makes it his toil of life, his amelus in life. That's where he's immersed. That is the goal of what the Rebbeinu Shalom wants from every creation. It doesn't mean a person sits the entire day for the rest of his life in yeshiva. Even if a guy has a job and he only is able to set aside some time in the morning and evening to learn, but that too, his learning has to be with amelus, and that's where he's toiling, and that's his ikar. This is what the Rebbeinu Shalom wants from every yid. In Bechukaisai Teilechu. And the truth is, the parasha continues and says the reverse, Rachmana Litzlan. The pasuk continues and says, V'imloi sishmuli, and if you don't listen to me, and Rashi brings down Chazal, meaning, and you're not Amol Batayra. You don't listen to me, meaning, and you're not Ameilim Batayra. And that's the beginning of the rest of the parasha of the Teuchecha. All the curses that Torah brings down. And it's kedai to hear, you know, when you read the parasha with the lashonis of the psukim, it doesn't penetrate. But if you read with the English, you hear the English translation, what the Rebbeinu Shalom said, it has a different effect on us American people that we understand English. I just want to read to you a few psukim just to hear what the Torah says if you're not a melon by Torah. This is from the Tanakh, so you can look it up yourself. You all own one. If you don't listen to me, what's going to happen? I will assign upon you panic, swelling lesions, burning fever. You will sow your seeds in vain, and your enemies will eat it. You'll be struck down before your enemies. Those who hate you will subjugate you. You will flee with no one pursuing you. Your strength will be spent in vain, and your land will not give its produce. I will incite the wildlife of the field against you, and it will leave you bereft of your children. It will diminish you, and your roads will come desolate. I will bring upon you a sword, and you will be gathered into your cities. And then I will send a pestilence, means like a magefa, among you. You will be delivered into your hands of your enemies. You will eat and not be satisfied. This is just Pasuk of Zion, up to Pasuk of Zion. The Parashat Mamash continues, psukim long, and it's kedai everybody in their own time to read the English translation to understand what the Rabbeinu Shem is telling us if we're not amela b'Torah. This is all in lo yisishmuli shetiyu amela b'Torah. If you're not amel, even if you're learning Torah, it's not enough. But Re'elam wants a yid in this world has to be amel b'Torah. So what does it mean to be amel b'Torah? If this is the prescription for life, what does it mean to be amel b'Torah? So obviously, amelus b'Torah is if you're toiling on a rekiv eger and you're toiling to understand the Taisus, that's a sure amelus b'Torah. But it's not limited to that. Amelus goes into many different areas too. The Trumas Hadeshen is brought down. I saw B'Shem the Trumas Hadeshen from the Rishonim. He says, Oysan habochrim hashirim hamufunakim. You have those rich mufunaki bochrim, meaning that everything has to be perfect. Those bochrim hashirim hamufunakim, sha'osu lahem shulchanos, I guess in those days, they used to have these special type of tables. When they sit by their table, you could turn the table to whichever side you need. They used to have like a table that's got wheels, and you had a bunch of svarim, a love harbe svarim, and in Eilu, if you need the Rambam, instead of leaning over to get the Rambam, you just turn your table a little bit, and you have the Rambam in front of you. And then when you want to go back to the Rajba, you turn the table this way, and you have the Rajba. Those bachrim, says the Trumas Hadeshen, that everything has to be so perfect, loy toiv heim oisim, they're not doing good. Adarabba. Kishamavakish achar a saver, when you go get a saver and you go get it and you search for it, ubaloi b'tayrach gadol, it comes with a tircha, it's a toil to get it. Zoicher ba'oisa ma'isa masharaita lomoy. That helps you remember and understand your learning. You see, after you shmaya and you're learning, you yaitza the musik of amelus, just with the fact that you have to get the saver and reach for the saver, all that toil that goes into your learning helps you fit the criteria of amelus b'Torah. There's a Gemara brought down in Ervin and Daf Nun Dalet. Omer Rav Huna used to say, "Im odom meisim atzmoy kechaya zu." If a person makes himself in his learning like a chaya, shedoyresis vayichelas. What does a chaya do? It just rips apart and eats. It's a makbid. Everything has to be perfect. And you have to put the black pepper and the spice on it with the ketchup. But rather, the chaya just eats it. Rips open the animal and eats. Talmudei miskayim biyodei. If in your learning, you act like this chaya, then your Talmud, your learning stays with you. Vimlav, if you don't learn like that, ain't a miskayim biyodei. If your learning has to be picture perfect, everything has to be set, not like a chayiv just rips and eats, but rather all the comforts have to be picture perfect for you to sit and learn, and you need that turning table, Kilo. The Torah is not miskayim by you. That's not a melus. A melus batayra means in all the guns, the whole picture, how much comfort and convenience do you need to get you to learn. How much are you able to push yourself out of your comfort zone and you're able to toil and learn, even if it might not be so convenient and comfortable. And the truth is, we're busy learning now the Mem Ches Kinyani Torah during the Zman of Svira, the 48 ways of being Kinyani Torah. And I had a Ha'ora. You go through the 48 Kinyani Torah, there's over a handful of the Kinyanim that are not really an act that you have to do. Miut, Shina, minimize your sleep. That's a Kinyan in Torah. Minimize sleep. What are you doing? You're doing something? What act are you doing? You're not doing something. Miut Shina. Miut Sicha. Minimize schmoozing. Sipping your mouth. Very hard. Miut Sicha is a Kinyan in Torah. How is that a Kinyan in Torah? What are you doing? By not talking, what are you doing? Be a tzchaik, minimizing jokes, fooling around. That's a Kinyan in Torah. What are you doing? You're not doing something, you're just not doing. And there's a whole list of things that you just mute. That's a Maisa Kinyan to be Kinyan in Torah? I'm just not doing. What's the Kinyan HaTorah? Tell me the 48 Kinyan HaTorah. How's that a Kinyan HaTorah? L'chayru l'aniyaz daite. I think I know the answer. That goes into HaMelus HaTorah. If your toil in Torah, it makes it more of a toil. I'm not going to talk so much. Instead, I'm learning. I'm not going to joke around so much. Instead, I'm learning. I'm pushing myself more. I'm not going to sleep so much. I'm pushing myself more. All the toil and pushing of yourself to have more Torah, that's another Kinyan, part of the Memches. You're doing Amelus. So this is a Meiridiker realization that we need to have, that when the Rebbeinu Shlom prescribed the success in life is based on Amelus BaTorah, all this also goes into Amelus. You know, it's a famous Maisa, so brought down many times, from one of the Gedolei Hador. They don't say over who it was, but there was a Gadol that used to say, when I was growing up, I turned 13 years old, and the story happened about 150, 200 years ago. My parents had to decide which yeshiva to send me to. So there was two options. There was the Miri Yeshiva and Volozhiny Yeshiva. Those were the two options. Which yeshiva should we go to? Where should we send our 13-year-old bachur to? So my father said that, you know, maybe we should take in calculation. If we send you to Volozhin, there the benches are wider. It's much better than the Mir. The Mir, the benches are thinner. So we send you to Volozhin, the benches are wider. Now what's the make a difference? The benches are wider or not? Not like you're thinking it's more comfortable, the chair has a cushion. That wasn't the father's cheshbon. He wouldn't have became one of the Gedolei Hador if that was the father's cheshbon. What was the difference that the father was saying that the benches in Volozhin are wider? So he explained that my father told me that, you know, when you're going to go learn in yeshiva, you're obviously going to want to maximize your time as much as possible. As every moment's going to be precious. You went to yeshiva to learn Torah, every moment's precious. So there's going to come a point where you might be exhausted. And in those days, they didn't have yeshiva facilities like today with a dormitory and everything. That didn't exist. They used to have to go ahead and have a bed by someone's house somewhere in the town. It would be a big trip to go to your bed. And in Mela, if the bench is wider, you might be able just to rest on the bench. You can even skip a night's sleep. You hear, Yitzi? You skip a night's sleep, you just go to sleep on the bench, and you save yourself time to maximize your learning. And kachava, I ended up going to Volozhin Yeshiva because the benches were wider than going to the Mir where the benches were narrower. What's Meirid about this Maisa is how, this is not too long ago, 150 years ago, a Yibachar in Yeshiva, he utilized every moment. They maximized their time. A moment in Yeshiva was precious. Every moment was valued. They accomplished more learning. So let's not talk about Bein Hasdarim. Let's say Bein Hasdarim is that's between Seder, so you need your time for yourself. But at least during a Seder, we have to work, and it's part of Amelus Batayra, to push ourselves to maximize our moments. Value your moments in a Seder. This is what Bnei Yeshiva were about not too long ago. The idea of Amelus Batayra, toiling in Torah, is a frightening idea for most or many Bachram. Many Bachram get scared by this idea. To toil and be Amol Batayra, it sounds threatening and frightening. And Amelus, we have to really understand, how do we accomplish this goal of Amelus Batayra? If this is the only way, and anything else is not what Hashem wants, and He sends the Toichacha for it, so we really have to feel an obligation to understand, how could I reach the Madrega of appreciating Amelus Batayra? Rav Dessler Zatzal, in Michtav Melion Chelik Hei, he brings down the Mishnah Avos, a fascinating point. In Perek Beis, Mishnah Chaf Aleph, the Mishnah says, Loi alecha hamalacha ligmar. It's not upon you to finish. But you're not a free man just to battle. But it's not upon you to finish. It's reference to Torah. Zokrav Desla is something moiridic. What is the Mishnah teaching me when it says, Loi alecha hamalacha ligmar? It's not upon you to finish. What is the Mishnah trying to tell you? Zokrav Desla, the Mishnah is teaching you the healthy mindset that everybody must have. If your mindset is that I just have to do and learn, mutav, that's good. But if someone thinks, ligmar malachta, you got to finish, ze apikorsis. That's apikorsis. And he said in Yiddish, ton oba nisht oifton. You got to do, but not oiftan means to finish. Ton oba nisht oiftan. And the reason being why it's apikorsis, he says, because i'efshar odom ligmor klal. A person can never finish. Odom noilud be'etzam be'emtza inyan. You're born into this world in the middle of an inyan. There's a big world here. Umestalak, and you leave this world be'emtza inyan. Ve'ein gemira be'geder odom klal. A human being can never think he's finishing. We'll finish. It's the wrong mindset. Ein loy lachshon cheshbonos. Person should never make calculations of how I finish. But rather, tachlis, a person's tachlis to be avodas Hashem. To serve. Omol, he says. Just toil. Hu ha tachlis. Zokrav Desler, Vahayodeya laharich zois. If someone knows how to value this idea that I'm teaching you, hu tzadik v'utamid b'simcha. You're called a tzaddik and you're always going to be happy and satisfied. A moiridika lesson that the Michtav Eliyahu is teaching us, Rav Dessler. We have to value the idea of just toiling and learning. It's not the goal of finishing, but a moment of learning how valued it is. And that will give us, empower us, and give us the kayach to be Amol Batayra. Because we're talking about, at this moment, toiling. And that's something valued. It's not with any goal of finishing anything specific. I just heard a phenomenal story that I want to share with you. that I think is very inspirational. There was a Yid, he lives in the south of Israel, Eliasaf Maria was his name. A Yid, a very humble Jew, who, simple man, who was a painter. That's his profession. And he did painting, you know, for his job, but not always was he so busy with his painting. Not always did he have a job available. And in the south of Israel, Kiyadua, Hamas is always sending rockets. Literally, all the time, shooting in rockets to them. And when the sirens go off, they literally have about 20 seconds to get to a bomb shelter. Otherwise, the rockets could kill you, literally. So what they did in that community, a person can be taking a walk. And if you have to go to a bomb shelter, you're not 20 seconds away from it. So what they did is, they installed bomb shelters literally on every block. You know those, you see a lot of times at construction sites, those big square cement things that they want to put in the ground? You know, you ever seen them by these pipes when they're doing the streets or whatever, these huge cement things? So the bomb shelters are a little larger than that, but they're big cement blocks. And you go inside it, and it's protection as a bomb shelter. They put them on every block that you have 20 seconds you can run. Even if you're taking a walk, you have somewhere to run to. So this Yid, El Yasef, he, in his spare time, you know, when you go to a bomb shelter, it's very depressing. It's very gloomy. Sometimes you can be there for a while, the sirens ring. Sometimes you can keep going there because they keep sending in rockets. He decided in his spare time he'll paint paintings on these bomb shelters, you know, to make it more exciting. And he was very good at it. He, you know, this person was good at his profession. And he started painting all the different bomb shelters, different ideas, different murals. One was a person chasing butterflies. Next one was beautiful mountain scenery, animals in a jungle. Literally, every one had a gorgeous designs. He did on the outside and the inside to make it exciting, entertaining. So a mother's there with her kids. They have what to look at and pass time. This is what this Yid did. Took months, maybe even years to finish, but he literally got through all the bomb shelters in the community in the south. They all had different designs. The story doesn't end here. October 7th came, and we all know that morning, 6:15 a.m., the sirens went off, and literally Hamas first shot in, 3,000 rockets came flying. And everybody's running toward different bomb shelters. Sometime after that, they realize that was only half the plan. Then all of a sudden, there's an infiltration of the Arabs storming. 6,000 terrorists came over the borders. And they literally started to make a huge massacre, a mini Holocaust, if you want to call it, Rachmana Litzlan, Hashem Yinkum Damov. Many, many people were butchered and killed. This Yid, Eliasaf Maria, the next day, saw on his phone, he had many, many missed calls. People were trying to reach him, and they were messaging him. The police, the army, and he couldn't imagine what everybody wants from him. He picks up the calls finally, and what happened was, the police, the army, were getting calls. Please come rescue me. I'm in a bomb shelter. They were hiding in bomb shelters, people. Because the terrorists were all over the place. And they would ask them, give me an address. And I don't know the address. I'm in a bomb shelter. So they said, could you describe the bomb shelter to us? He said, yeah. There's a picture here. They could start describing the picture and the color and everything that was by this bomb shelter. But that didn't really help because the picture, very nice, but where's that picture located? This Yid Eliasaf, who designed all of them, knew where he made all the different designs. Everything was based on like the areas. He saw butterflies. He made him think to make a butterfly picture on this thing. And there was nice scenery, so he made a mountain and all that. And Mamel, they were trying to locate him because he started giving and he helped out the army and the police. This design of butterflies is at this intersection. And this one with the mountain scenery is over here, and the jungle is over there. And he started giving the addresses to all of the bomb shelters, And they went from shelter to shelter, saving all the survivors from the terrible massacre that was going on. The message being, if you would have asked this Yid, Eliasaf, on October 4th, what he does for a living, what do? Oh, I'm a simple painter. That's what he was said. Because in his life, he was a simple painter. After October 7th, he realized, I'm not such a simple painter. I'm literally a savior of life. You know how many lives were saved? How many people were helped? Because of his painting that he did. And he didn't even realize how much atzolos nefashos he's doing with just being a simple painter. Every one of us, Bachrim and Bnei Torah, we sit a seder, we sit for a moment being Amo Bat Torah, and you think you're a simple Yid learning Torah. What am I doing already? And we don't realize enough. If you're simply sitting and being Amo Bat Torah, you are saving lives and you're changing this world. It's like October 4th beforehand, where he didn't realize what he does. We're at that point at October 4th. Only once we leave this world will be after October 7th that will chop the magnitude of just sitting and being Omer Batoyer, what you're doing, how many lives you're saving, and how much of the world you're changing, and the Brooklyn you're bringing down for the Ganzevelt. This is the Meiridiki Yisoid. Our job, like the Michtam Eliyahu Dessel is saying, is just ton, aber nicht oifton. Lo lecha mlocha ligmar. Our job is just to sit and be Omo Batoira. That's in Chukaisai Teilechu. That's what Boiri Olam wants. That alone makes the huge difference. Rav Vosner, Shmuel Levi Vosner, Zatzal, when from the Ziknei Ador, was nifter about 10 years ago. He was nifter, he was over 100 years old. The Shevet HaLevi. He said, I saw with my own eyes, Efshel Livcha Mitoicha Nesoyin, means he was tried and tested. He said, I could go around the Beis Medrash, and I could see which Bochrim are going to be Matzliach, and which Bachrim won't be Matzliach. How did I know who's who? He said, Rak ha-masmidim yigadlu v'yatzlichu. The ones that took their learning serious, they were a masmid, which means they were being omol batoira. They were toiling in their learning. Those are the ones that were successful. But the ones that, rather, he said, have a zichrein toiv, a good memory, and good kishroinos, are very strong, Loyatzlichu. Those don't end up being matzliach. At the time, they're doing what they gotta do. But they don't end up being matzliach. And I want to tell you something. A Rebbe in this yeshiva literally told us to be a couple of days ago. You know, we look back the last 10, 15 years. So you have Bachrim that moved on and got married. And this Rebbe told me, you know, there's so many Bachrim, and he gave me examples. These guys are sitting, learning in Kol now with a bunch of kids already, and we would have never expected it. We didn't think so, and expected it when they were in yeshiva. This is what's going to be. The guy's already married, 4 kids, he's still in Kol. I mean, who would have dreamt this would happen? And he said, it's so interesting, if you look, which guys ended up doing that, and which guys are already at work after a year or so, he says, this is what he told me, and I'm going to explain it. He said, it really is dependent on who they married. He said, the one they married encouraged them to be matzliach, and they're still sitting and learning. What I think it means is that when the wife is supportive and the husband could sit with amelus batayra and really toil with hasmada, the learning keeps going, and then 4 years later, with 4 kids already, whatever, how many years later, whatever it is, and still sitting in Kailo. But on the other hand, that wife who's not so supportive and Every other day she's pulling her husband out of yeshiva or whatever it is and always busy. So he's never really omol batoiro. There's no real hasmada in learning. And in Mela, those are the guys who went to work after a year. And many times it was very surprising that this guy ended up sitting in yeshiva. But the teretz is, if he married the right person and she encourages hasmada and amelos, it changed everything. And this is what Rav Voss is saying too. The hatzlocha comes from the people that are omol and are masmidim in learning. A gevaldike eitza. How do you just go sit down and start learning with amelos? Rabbi Chatzko Levenstein said over from the Vilna Gaon that our approach has to be chayiv logeshes l'toyra. You have to come with your approach to Torah with a recognition she'ein befonov el daf echad. All I have is this one sugya I got to learn. V'chein noisel l'irak yoyim echad l'yichyoyis. I only have one day to do it. I'm only living for today to do it. And hu yechidi ba'olam. I'm the only one that's ruled that will do it. The mindset has to be that Hashem has a calling to me, that all he's asking me to do is do this one sugya, just learn that one taisvis, and this is my only day to accomplish it, and I'm the only one in the world here that could do this accomplishment. Those 3 points, says the Vilna Gaon, is the secret to really apply yourself with Amelus Batayra. I heard over that the Chavetz Chaim used to say, it's Merum as in Kriyashma. V'hoyu hadvorim ha'ela. These words of Torah, means this words of Torah, asher anoichi mitzavecha, I'm commanding you, hayoim, today. Those 3 points that the Vilna Gaon said is merumas in the Pasuk. It should be hadvorim ha'ela, only these words, asher anoichi mitzavecha, I'm commanding you today, you, no one else in the world. Hayoyim means today. The only opportunity is today. So those 3 points are mamash in the pasuk in Kriya Shema. That this is a focus that we have. If you have that type of focus, it makes it that much easier just to apply yourself and do the Ratzon Hashem of ton, of just sitting and learning Amal Batayra, like the Ratzon Hashem is. You know, it's very interesting in our tefillos that we have. We keep repeating, like at the end of our Shemoneh Esrei, Psach libi b'sayr esecha. Our tefillah is, open my heart in your Torah. It's an interesting lashon. We find this lashon many times. We don't ask Hashem to learn. We ask Hashem to open our hearts. Why is that the tefillah, to open your hearts? Right, you say this in a Avodah Zarah also. Hu yiftach libeinu b'sayr esecha. Open my heart in your Torah. In Brich Shemei we say, Yehi rava kadomach, the siftach liboyi by raisa. It should be a will to open my heart in your Torah. Why are we constantly asking to open our hearts in Torah? Why don't we ask to learn Torah? Open my heart in Torah? And the teretz is because when something, anybody in their life, if you have interest, something's interested to you, means you want it, it's not difficult. It's not hard if you have interest. Like, for example, you go to camp and they have color war. If you're into color war and you want to win, for 3 days straight, you're working really hard like a dog. You're not sleeping. You're really toiling. Does it feel hard? No. You're in camp. You have an interest. You want to win color war. And you go 3 days without sleep. It's not a big deal. Because there's interest. Your heart is in it. The only way to learn Torah, how am I supposed to toil in Torah? Toiling is hard. It's difficult. But if your heart is in it, all of a sudden you're able to toil. If you have real value for it, that's what it means, your heart's in it. It's something choshev by you, you value it, then you're going to be in it. You know, we say in the bracha every morning, we don't make a brichas haTorah that I'm going to go ahead and just learn Torah. We say lasoik b'divrei Torah. Tzivonu asher kedishanu b'mitzvoseh v'tzivonu. You commanded us lasoik b'divrei Torah, to toil in the oisik. Our bracha is not just to learn. Don't think for a moment If you just go sit by a daf yomishi, you're doing Ratzon Hashem. That's not what Hashem wants. Hashem wants a toil. You're allowed to learn the daf, but it has to be with a melus. It has to be an esek hatoyro. That's the criteria Borei Olam wants from a yid. And there's no exceptions to any yid in Klal Yisrael. In b'chukosai teilechu, shetiu ha-melam ha-toyro. In loisishmulin, you're not a melam ha-toyro. It's the toichacha, rachmano l'tzlan. It's the Holocaust, rachmano l'tzlan. All the tragedies that we experience. There's one criteria Borei Olam's asking of the yid. Toil. And if you don't toil, you're going to boil. There's no other option. You could tell Uru, they'll make some bumper stickers. The Chazon Ish writes in a letter, Lilmoid Shaw or Lahafsik Shaw. A person learns, doesn't mean literally an hour. You learn for some moment and you're mafsik, and you keep learning and you're mafsik. Every other moment you're in it, you're out of it, you're in it, you're out of it. Hukiyum hatoyu. What you're doing is being mekayim emptiness. Ha'efes v'aheder, the lack of. That's not learning Torah. Harei zarei, it's like you're planting. V'shaleich habayim l'sachvam. And you're pouring water and you drown everything you just planted. Ikur halimud. Zok t'chazon ish. The main learning of a yid, hu atmidi. It's the continuity, the continuous learning. Habilti nifsak, without stopping. Zesha oisa terosa kroim. If your learning is in pieces, you learn, and then you stop, and you learn, you stop every few minutes. Osof ruach. You take it out all the ear from any of your learning. And therefore, Zok t'chazon ish in the letter, min haroi, it's proper that a person should be make tachbulois, make yourself schemes. Eich liknois hasmodas halimut. How could I acquire hasmoda in my learning? How could I acquire a ritzifos, a continuity in my learning? Because that's ikur Torah. Everything else is emptiness, Zok t'chazon ish. There's a maisa. Really a phenomenal story. A 9-year-old boy, Rachman Lutzlan, came down with a disease. And all the doctors are trying to help him. And after much visiting and tests and all that, they couldn't help this child. A 9-year-old boy, Rachman Lutzlan, he had a disease and there was no hope. There was nothing they could do. He was literally dying. He had good days and bad days. So his parents felt, as long as he's doing well on his good days, let him go to yeshiva. Why should he stay home? If he has kayak, let him go. And he used to go to school and yeshiva even while he was sick, because as long as he's okay, he's going to school. A 9-year-old boy, his Rebbe's teaching about the Ma'oras HaMachpelah, maybe Kever Rochel was, one of those. And the Rebbe said, you know, I'm making a contest. For the next 3 weeks, in your own time, whoever could go ahead and make a beautiful Kever Rochel or Amaras HaMachpelah, whichever one it was, either with drawing, sculpture, whatever it is, and the nicest one is going to win the contest. Now this boy was very good at painting. He was really good. So he took it seriously, like many other boys, and every night when he came home, he's busy painting his Kever Rochel. I'm a beautiful, gorgeous painting. 3 weeks pass, and the time comes, and everybody's bringing in their stuff for the contest. He comes in that morning with his painting, and all the boys run over to him because they knew he's a good painter, they want to see it. And he unrolls his painting, and it was taka, mamish gorgeous, literally exceptional. There was one boy in the class who obviously must have been very jealous. And while he's watching everybody oohing and eyeing over the guy's painting, he walks over and he grabs the painting out of his hand. He crumples it up. He says, "This is a painting? It It's made for a kindergarten kid. And he takes it and throws it into the garbage, and there's spoiled milk on the bottom, and it totally got ruined. All the other kids in the class, their mouths are hanging open. I mean, it's bad enough to just go do that to any regular kid. But here's a kid who's sick, and he granted did a great job at his painting, and you rip it up like that, the kids were all shocked. Their mouths are hanging open. This boy was mamash oysmensch, you can imagine how much he invested. He's about to break down crying, but he's, you know, doesn't want to cry in front of everybody. He quickly goes to his seat. And at that moment, the Rebbe walks in. And the Rebbe sits down and begins class. And everything moves on. About an hour later, the Rebbe says, okay, now for the contest. And everybody starts bringing up their stuff for the contest. The boy's name is Yosef. He says, Yosef, let me see your stuff. He says, no, I don't have a painting. He says, Yosef, you don't have a painting? He said, no, I don't have one. And, okay, he doesn't have one. Couldn't imagine. He knew he was a great painter. Fine. And the day goes by, and whatever the winner was, and that was it. He comes home that night, and his parents say to him, Nu, how was the contest? Who won? Did you win? He says, no, that's fine. No, it's fine. And he's not talking. And they're wondering, like, what happened? And he doesn't, he's not talking. So the father, very, very curious of what happened here, his kid's not acting regular, he calls up the Rebbe. And he asks the Rebbe, you see my son's painting? It was pretty good, no? Oh, your son didn't have a painting. He said, what do you mean my son didn't have a painting? Of course he had a painting. He worked in it for 3 weeks. So no, I asked him about his painting. He said, he doesn't have one. He says, I'm telling you, he went to yeshiva that morning with the painting. He said, okay, you know what? I'm going to figure this out tomorrow. Comes to yeshiva the next day, and he calls over Yosef and asks him, whatever happened to your painting? Yosef doesn't want to talk. So he went ahead and privately from other kids there, he found out what happened. And he found out the whole story. So by recess or whatever it was, he called over Yosef and he said, I heard what happened. Why didn't you tell me something? I don't understand you. Why didn't you tell me something? I mean, even if I couldn't save your painting, but this boy, he would have been suspended, be thrown out of yeshiva for such a thing. Why didn't you tell me something? I don't understand you. He said, Rebbe, please, I beg you, don't do anything to the kid. Don't do anything to him. So Rebbe's like, I don't understand. Why not? Look what happened. He says, Rebbe, you have to understand. I went back to my seat, and you could imagine how broken I was. No question about it. I worked so hard at it, and I really invested so much, and you can imagine, Rebbe, how much I really needed a win, and I wanted to be the winner. And you don't understand how hard it was. But at that moment, I realized, you know something? If I'm Miss Gabra myself, and I'm Mavre El Midoisov, and I look away, and instead of getting this boy thrown out of yeshiva, I'm going to just be Meichelev and move on. I'm doing something that's impossible. Maybe Boyri Yoylum will do something impossible for me. Maybe Ulai Yerachim. And I decided I'm just moving on. And the Rebbe listened to this kid, a 9-year-old boy, was crying, hearing such words. And he said, okay, I'm not going to do anything about it. He goes by recess and calls the parents. And he calls the father and tells him what happened. The father is crying, bawling tears. You can imagine hearing such a story about his 9-year-old son, how he was misgabra himself and he did something impossible. And sure enough, 3 days later, you could imagine how much more he was crying when a doctor called back and said they found a cure and he ended up administering some medications and something and they figured out the disease and he had a total refuah shalem. We don't realize if our acts, when we do things that are impossible, what type of repercussions it makes in Shamayim that the Rabbanu Shalom feeds you back and does things that look impossible. And especially in Amelus Batayra. If you look at Amelus Batayra as something impossible, it's something so difficult. It's even threatening and frightening to me as a bachur to think about the obligation of life is to be omer la'Torah. But you don't realize that if you do your part in life, and especially if in your personal life you find it so much more impossible than by other bachurim, but you do the impossible, you don't realize what Shari Shamayim become open. And like the pasuk brings down in this week's parasha, in Mechukosai Teleichu, what Shari Bracha are open in Shamayim, like the pasuk records over there in the beginning of Mechukosai. All the brachas come down. You could imagine things that were impossible in your life, how the Rabbeinu Shalom opens up those Sha'arim and brings down Bracha for you to perform the impossible. See, it's late. Stop here. Rabbi Shem Shtaka, help us all. We should take the message of Parshat Mechukosai in Mechukosai Teleichu that should be Ameilu Batoiro. We should internalize this recipe of life, this prescription of life that the Rabbi Shem is giving every year, and realize that it's not enough just to learn Torah, but we all have to work on this Gevaldika Madrega that Hashem wants. Shetiyu Ameilu Batoiro.